played, spray my faucet corn, my blister horn flung into the day. Why oughta storm my gristle formed dung into the shirt doused bed where socks loom my fizzled norm sung inside the dirt
hall. This is John M. Bennett, and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
My ray, my osteo floor, my glistened shorn mug flayed.
Welcome everyone to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio, and with your host Austin. And today we have a special guest, Will
again.
Kaufman. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe not so special, huh?
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a regular.
Regular.
At this point.
Yeah. You're just a regular.
It's been a while, actually.
It has. It's been a few.
You know,
months even.
Yeah, Austin went up to me yesterday and kind of classes have slowed down, asked me to get on the radio show. I was like, yeah, you know, it's been too long. So, here I am sitting in the special hot seat, eh?
Yeah. Before we go any further, I'd like to acknowledge that we're broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territory. Yes.
Yeah, so what are we talking about today, Austin?
Today we're going to be talking about deer and deer-like creatures called ungulates. But yeah, I kind of had this idea of the idea for the show last night when I was sending in some cover letters to people, and I realized I was writing deer at the top of them, like
D-E-A-R.
Yeah, but like I think that's such a weird. I want to know the what I'm going to do during the show is try to figure out the origin of the word deer, because I feel like saying deer to like not an intimate person, you know, like just saying, like, for example, like me writing the cover letters is kind of a weird like.
Yeah, like deer's
thing to say.
Deer's also used to mean like, you know, some form of, you know, saying hi to someone like, oh, hey, deer.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like, a term of endearment.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe deer's the species are like, oh, it's just hey, deer. You know, it's a lovely little thing, a lovely little creature.
Yeah. Or
I'd love to get to know you better.
I feel like that obviously, the species did come first, but like the naming convention for the species probably came first. I don't know.
Well,
and then maybe people like thought that these deers were like deer in the doe were pretty cute and started calling like their honeys deers.
And then comes the reindeer.
Right? And then here comes the rain. Yeah. I hope you brought your coat, huh?
The red nose, huh?
Yeah, the red nose. Yeah, Rudolph, huh? Yes. All right. But yeah, we've got a cool show. We're going to natter a bit about deer.
Natter.
Natter away. But yeah, I'm going to start you off with some songs. This first song is from an artist by the name of Ellen Grace, and it's a pretty cool album, actually, that she just released is from this album, Music for Speeches, and it's basically just kind of like this experimental album that kind of is trying to showcase the power of words, and yeah, it's really cool. She recorded the whole thing on a pair of Apple headphones, and
that's pretty cool.
And like a $50 amp that she has. So,
pretty hip.
Yeah, pretty hip. It shows that you can make music with pretty much anything, man. But anyways, I'm gonna play a song off of her newest album, Music for Speeches. Flowers for a Wedding Gown. This is Ellen Grace. Hope you enjoy. Be back in a few.
Beauty is not the only requisite to happiness. Very handsome people are almost always vain, often exacting, and generally live on their form, paying little or no attention to the rarer qualities of manhood or womanhood. Seek beauty alone, he will find it in the fields and flowers and gardens, in paintings, artworks, and things of nature, while the real pleasures of life may be found in a thousand ways outside the worship of beauty. There are a dozen considerations beyond beauty that should govern the choice of a companion. Think for a moment whom you admire most, trust implicitly, and love more ardently than all others. Truly, it is not the wax doll face in a milliner's window. Were that so, why not marry the model? Snowdrifts shade your locks with silver, when one by one of your friends will visit at the fireside, when someone will love you for your mind and heart and nobleness. Someone suited to your silver age condition and disposition will be beautiful without any name for beauty, as the soldier said of Grant's face after Shiloh's bloody battle. That was the handsomest face I ever saw, yet it was plain and dusty and rugged. Someone suited to your silver age condition and disposition will be beautiful without any, without any, without any, without any, as
say. Hey, Christine, try this donut.
Ooh, okay. It's so stale.
That's because it's 10 years old! The Dunkin' Donuts radio show is celebrating a decade on the air. We're having a big party to celebrate.
With a show at the Toast, Saturday, March 11th, featuring Two Bad Catholics, Supermoon, Maneater, and Gal Grayson.
There will also be homemade donuts and limited edition donut t-shirts. All funds raised go to CITR's fund drive.
See you there.
Hey, do you want some coffee to wash it down? It's from 2006.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm Austin.
And I'm Will.
Yes. We heard a couple songs there. That last one was a song by the artist Bad Canada off their Cactus EP, and the song was called Cactus. Cactus.
Cactus.
And the song before that was Molly Drag. The song was Morrow for off the new album, Whatever Reason, that's coming out shortly here in, I think, April. So keep on looking for that. Molly Drag's last album, Tethered Rendering, was a pretty sick album. So give it a listen to here. And then, of course, the first song was Ellen Grace, Flowers from a Wedding Gown, off the album Music for Speeches. Well, yes. So today's show is about deer and deer-like things. Often a term that we use to describe deer and related species are the term ungulate. And an ungulate are any member of a diverse group, primarily large mammals, including two-toed ungulates such as horses, rhinoceros. Yeah, so it's basically
rhinoceros, huh?
Yeah, like rhinoceros, pronghorn antelope, caribou, looks like warthogs, moose, deer. Yeah, so it's kind of like all of those, sheep, bighorn sheep.
It's all like cool big ones with antlers.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. but yeah, there's different types of ungulates, like even-toed and odd-toed, but we'll just kind of stick to the word ungulate, and that's it.
So ungulates come up quite a bit in the forestry context, don't they, Austin?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're forest-dwelling creatures.
Yeah, so. You often see them in the forest.
Yes.
Or maybe sometimes in the urban areas,
too. Yeah, deer are pretty big generalists. Mm-hmm. So that means that they can pretty much eat whatever they want and whatever is available. And they can reside in a wide variety of habitats. So that's why we can see deer often in urban areas.
Like your backyard,
yes. But actually an interesting thing is I've never really seen a deer in Pacific Spirit Park or Stanley Park. You'd think that they would go there, but I've never seen one.
Maybe not Stanley Park. It's so isolated, but I don't see Pacific Spirit. I mean, you gotta, zigzag through traffic jams and crazy Vancouver.
Yeah, I doubt that they'd be in Pacific Spirit. Yeah,
really. But I'm sure
at one point
there
maybe
has been a deer.
Yeah,
in Pacific Spirit.
Yeah, but
and you can put that state of claim to my name.
Okay. Yeah. Of course, there was at one point, but also at one point there wasn't the city of Vancouver here.
That's true.
Yeah, I think the city got rid of the deer here a long time ago.
What do you think came first, the deer or the city?
Yeah, okay. I think we all know the answer to that question.
Silly one, silly one.
Yeah. Okay. But anyways, yeah, deer are really important and can really change a lot of parts of the ecosystem. For example, I spent a few months here on Haida Gwaii, the archipelago above north of Vancouver Island, and deer were introduced during the fur trade, and because it's such an isolated group of islands, there is no top predator, and they've really made a huge impact on the ecosystem. Basically, there's no shrubs in the forest at all, and it's really actually hard for a lot of the tree species to regenerate or regrow, like their seedlings to grow after once they're established. That's because of the intense browsing of the deer. These deer populations have not been kept in check by a top predator. And so they're pretty much just like way overabundant.
Mm-hmm. And they've talked about introducing like cougars on the Haida Gwaii for this exact reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's a lot more to it than just introducing a top predator, right?
Yeah, there is. Cougars is kind of an interesting example because they have such a wide territory range, and the Haida Gwaii wouldn't be able to like hold that many cougars, and with a cougar pop, and cougars eat approximately one deer per week. Hmm. So I'm not sure if like introducing cougars would be the most impactful way to reduce the population. Also, there's obvious reasons with like safety and such when you got a community,
right?
And introducing the predator.
Yeah. I mean, and I heard it's fairly easy to get a deer hunting tag.
Yes, Haida Gwaii too. Yes, yes.
So I don't know if that has been contributing to the help of declining deer.
Yeah, definitely everyone on Haida Gwaii has this kind of stigma about the deer. And, well, most people do. I have met a few people on Haida Gwaii that think, oh, deer aren't a problem. But those are just grumpy old people.
Yeah, yeah.
No offense to any grumpy old people out there. But, it is really easy to get a tag, and if you're Haida, you can shoot unlimited amount of deer. And if you're just your average Joe like me, I can go out, register for a tag, and shoot 12 deer a season. So that's
a lot of meat.
A bit, yeah.
A lot of
meat. And there's most people just shoot as many as they can. They can't even you just can't find that. You can't find 12. You can't get 12 deer. It's so hard to do. I don't know anyone that's ever actually met that, like, couldn't go out anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you start hunting?
Yeah, for sure.
If
I lived on Haida Gwaii, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm vegetarian, so saying that actually means a lot.
Yeah.
Because it would mean that I would have to eat meat, but
right.
But I think it's like it's kind of like your duty to do it, like you want
to protect the land.
Yeah, you got to protect the land, and it's a cool way to kind of help out the ecosystem, is by trying to reduce these deer populations.
I wonder at what point people get so caught up in the hunting, and then they check populations again, and they're like, wait, maybe we should quit hunting? Or are they just going to wipe out the entire population of deer? Because they were like, oh, it's introduced onto the islands. And they're like, well, now it's back to what Haida-Gwaii should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that is actually an interesting question, because it does kind of bring back this like theme that I've been kind of playing with a lot throughout the last couple weeks of what is natural, and they're like, you have to set a benchmark, or like a natural benchmark, when with any conservation goals,
right?
And
right.
Where is that going to be? Is it going to be post or pre deer introduction?
Yeah. Like, do you still want deer there? Or because I feel like if you still have them there, they're going to just, like, exponentially grow again, right? Because they're just such a
bad
food. And...
Exactly. Without any, like, checking sort kind of a mechanism of checking the population, like, via a top predator, I think that it's going to be really, really hard to get rid of them.
Right. Well, something to keep our eyes on, huh?
Yeah, it is something to keep our eyes on, for sure. Yeah. you had something actually interesting to say, too.
Also with deer, kind of, and an issue. Well, they weren't introduced, but throughout the much of the Cariboo region of British Columbia, there's this... there's a special overwintering habitat for mule deer called Mule Deer Winter Range, and forestry is operating a lot of this Mule Deer Winter Range, and a new legislation has been passed for special forestry practices to be upheld within this area the province has specified. And so it's kind of interesting. I've looked at a lot of case studies of how, like, these new harvesting techniques, which are very different than, like, standard clear cutting. It's often, like, single tree selection, a lot of retention trees, and kind of just thinning the stand and kind of, you know, picking one tree at a time, which is kind of operationally can be really difficult, but it's, like, good for thermal insulation for the winter for deer species to kind of be protected in from the cold. And so what's kind of interesting is, you know, they think they're helping the deer and everything for the overwintering habitat, but then come, like, fall and hunting season, it's opening, like, big shooting corridors for hunters. So it's kind of this trade-off of, you know, overwintering habitat, but, like, lots of accessibility and easy shooting grounds for hunters. So they're having this kind of conundrum between, you know, is this even helping anything?
Yeah, like, what is going to kill the deer faster, the logging or hunting?
Yeah, right.
Sort of thing, too.
But, you know, it's just that specific kind of overwintering habitat they're pretty sensitive to. Otherwise, deer are pretty, you know, flexible in their habitats and whatnot. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting that, you know, these... You know, maybe citizens would be like, oh, wow, they've changed logging practices significantly to help the deer. Maybe, you know, we shouldn't hunt here. But I think some of them are just like, oh, I can shoot from my car, you know, 200 meters away perfectly for this deer. Like, kaboom, huh?
Kabooey. Yeah.
Fire away. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's another thing to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, got to keep your lookers
forestry
peeled.
Forestry and mule deer and hunting all kind of go side by side, huh?
Yeah, everything is connected to everything else.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. We're all one, dude.
We're all one. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of these YouTube documentaries about, like, space and stuff and. Yeah, we're all one.
Space and stuff, huh?
Yeah, like cosmic energy.
Okay.
That stuff's cool.
Where does cosmic energy come into deers?
Well, everything is at, like, small fluctuations in cosmic energy will affect maybe even very minutely will affect life on Earth. But minutely maybe to our
Are we talking about like mutations, man?
No, we're talking about like long term, big scale changes in life on Earth.
Okay.
Here we go. Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go. Buckle in. Buckle We're not in. About to enter this void today, but okay.
This
maybe
is a
another
talk and a half.
Yeah, this is a talk and a half. So I'm just gonna go up. I'm gonna shut up here and play some songs.
Yeah, shut up.
This next song is by a really cool band, Hrsta, H-R-S-T-A. The song is called City of Gold. Hrsta is kind of a side project of band members of Godspeed You, Black Emperor. So very cool band. But this is kind of a quick little jimmy off their album that is in French, so I can't read it, so I'm not gonna try.
Yo, jimmy it up, Austin.
Jimmy. So see you later. Welcome back, everyone, to CITR 101.9. You're listening to Wise Men Radio. I'm Austin.
Oh, I'm Will.
Yes, we played some cool songs back there, didn't we, Will?
Yeah, that was really cool, man.
Really sick.
Yo,
yeah.
Give us a lowdown on what they were.
Oh, I was going to ask you to do that.
Oh, I can't really read that playlist from here.
Okay.
I didn't choose any of these.
Yeah, so that the song that we just heard was by the artist Kim Free, and the song was Make Me Yours off her Make Me Yours EP. Very cool song. And, of course, the first song was Hursta, City of Gold, off their album that's all in French, so I won't try to pronounce it. But, yes. This is the Deer and Ungulate Show.
Welcome back to Wise Men Deer and Ungulate Show.
Yeah. What we've been talking about a little bit is deer, but now we're gonna shift the focus to ungulates in general.
Unguli.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of unguli, huh?
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I really like bighorn sheep, man.
Bighorn sheep, really? Have you ever seen one?
Yeah, I have.
Where?
I've seen them in the Kootenays and in Colorado. And Montana.
And I think bighorn, we've seen bighorn. No, that was doll sheep.
Doll sheep.
Yeah, doll sheep.
Which is another ungulate.
Yeah.
In Alaska,
yeah.
Yes, that was very, very cool.
Yeah, very cool stuff. And there's lots of African ungulates, too.
Right.
Lots of cool ones.
What's your favorite, Austin?
Oh, shoot, man. That's hard to say. And you know why that's hard to say? So I think maybe bison are up there. Mm. Yeah, I actually am not sure if wildebeest are considered buffalo, or wildebeest are considered ungulate, but they would be up there as well.
Yeah, those things are crazy.
But also caribou.
Oh, yeah, they're cool.
Caribou are cool, yes, yeah. They are. Caribou are also pretty important, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And especially here in British Columbia.
Yeah, The Rocky Mountain caribou got put on the red list recently in British Columbia.
And red list is?
Endangered or threatened.
Yeah, so there's not very many of them.
No. So there's, starting, I think, in, 2005, we were like, all right, we have to figure something out. Because, forestry and, other resource development infrastructure.
Such as mining?
Mining, fracking.
Oil.
Oil, yeah. Yes. And caribou populations were just kind of going down and down and down. And they were like, we got to figure something out here. So there's, been a few reports of how, maybe we could figure out some special management techniques of protecting caribou habitat and also, doing resource extraction. But then also caribou need large intact areas of old forest with abundant lichen. And, they need access to the alpine parkland regions with old forest and they get scared with any human encroachment or backcountry access. So there's lots of these balancing values of, what we should really be doing or, the trade-offs of, not having backcountry access or not logging in some areas to protect the caribou. And, it's still an ongoing issue right now is, we can't be, doing big forest clear cuts in these areas and can't be developing big road infrastructure too, and yeah, so yeah. I don't know. It's kind of an interesting issue of, like, you know, where do we draw the line here, you know?
Yeah.
Where do we say, all right, enough is enough?
Yeah, exactly. There's, like, caribou aren't a fringe species. They don't do really well on the edges of forests. They have to have, like, a wide area of
mature forest.
Yeah, mature forest with lots of lichen. So they're kind of like opposite of deer in some sense, where they're pretty specialized. They're pretty habitat specialized, and while a lot of deer species are pretty generalistic.
Yeah, they're very just sensitive to change.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and with all this logging and all these other resource extraction, kind of fracturing the land and making a lot of the patches of forest kind of not fit together, it makes it really hard when trying to save this species, because the forest that we're trying to protect is either A, not big enough, and not connected. It's all about the connectivity of
ecosystem patches of corridors.
Yeah, ecosystem corridors these creatures need to be able to roam throughout their range,
and even
we made it really hard.
Yeah, and even like backcountry access just for recreationalists has had a big impact, like skiers and snowmobilers in the backcountry in some areas have, you know, because they kind of like that transition forest in the high alpine in the winter.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of driving the caribou away from that area with recreationalists. And so, yeah, it's, you know, it's more to it
than
we think. And, yeah, and then, like, you know, the province has been like, oh, you know, it's actually the wolves that have been influencing the caribou decline. So we're going to get in helicopters and shoot wolves.
Yeah, which is probably not going to solve the problem. Like, wolves eat lots of different things and not just caribou as well. So I think that's kind of a really silly one-sided kind of narrow scope. Like, they're not looking at the whole picture here.
Right.
And I think if you really want to save caribou, you're gonna have to really pull a miracle, I think.
I've like read a few things and papers about it, and I mean, some biologists say, although it's not the definite solution to saving the caribou, it is something that's necessary.
Culling wolves?
Yeah.
Really?
So, I mean, that's, you know, just a different perspective of, they were saying that the wolf population was going crazy, growing crazy fast. But then it's like, you know, should we be controlling that, or does the ecosystem?
Yeah, ecosystem has its ways.
Trophic cascades, you know, kind of balance each other out eventually, right? So, should we even be interfering? Or, but no, I mean, needless to say, that is not the one and only solution for getting back a healthy caribou population.
Yeah. It's, you find a lot of times in situations when you're trying to deal with ecosystems and kind of natural process, anything to do with like the natural world, really. Everything is so complex. It's so hard to pin it down just to one factor.
Just...
And to be able to know everything that happens is pretty, like, you're not going to know all the information before you make a decision.
That's
you're
going
to have to make a decision about like planning and management way before you know, like, nearly the whole picture. So,
right. I mean, yeah, it's a delicate place out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you think you're, oh, just, you know, managing for this or killing off this species is just directly going to impact this. But, you know, you see that there's other impacts. I mean, have you seen that video of, like, how, you know, the reintroduction of wolves have changed rivers in Yellowstone?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good example. Like, you know, who would have thought, you know, I mean, it's a very interesting video. Go and watch it. It's hard to explain. But it's pretty much how, you know, the reintroduction of wolves have changed the landscape in Yellowstone.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, kind of like the Haida Gwaii scenario, in Yellowstone, there wasn't much shrub layer. So
it's like, yeah,
once the wolves were introduced, they could check the deer populations, and therefore the shrubs would grow and have some bank stabilization, mm-hmm. and then rivers could, you know, and like rivers changed.
Right. Yeah.
Right in front of your eyes.
Interesting video.
Yeah,
go watch it.
It's cool. Like something like that has a impact that we can actually see. Because a lot of the times in nature, we make a decision and we don't necessarily see the impacts or the results of it until
like 200 years later.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like that. It's like, wow, we shouldn't have done this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
200 years ago, we're seeing it now, and it looks. Not good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hence the industrial revolution or the fur trade. Or
oh, yeah.
Any of this wacky ecosystem messing up with stuff.
Messing up with stuff.
Yeah.
Huh. So back to ungulates.
So back to them, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I forgot. I was going to say something else about management, but... but I don't know, man.
Yeah, managing for ungulates is, I don't know. Yeah, like deer. Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of a species by species thing. And I don't know. It's like, well, should we even manage for them? Or
yeah.
Should we just be like, yeah, you know, or draw the line like with the caribou population? Or
draw the line like as in accept that we've lost the species.
We've lost the species, and just let's continue doing what we've been doing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's a complex issue, and it's up for debate. You can, I suggest getting involved in the community, sending some letters to some ministries.
Mm-hmm. Some ministries out there.
Yeah.
All the various ministries.
The ministries, the Department of... Forestry,
Department of Caribou.
The Department of Caribou. I suggest sending a letter to Mr. Caribou himself. Is there really like any like big mascot of caribou? Oh, there's the Caribou Beer Company. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could send your complaints into the Caribou Beer Company in Prince George.
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually a great. They're a great company. I love them. My second year, I built a caribou out of caribous.
Yes, I was part of that project. It was something special for sure.
Yeah.
And broke about 5 minutes later.
Yeah, but it was cool. We got some photos.
Lots of free swag, am I right?
Lots of free swag, yeah. We sent some photos into the caribou company, and they were like, yo, we'll give you free stuff. You don't need to make this thing.
Yeah, it's too cool, man.
Too cool. All right. Anyways, I think that about wraps up our show here on Wise Men Radio. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you, Will, for coming back on the show. It was a pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for thank you for having me. Yeah, it's always a treat to be on Wise Men, and
yes,
you know, I feel like I put the men back in man.
Yeah, it's before without it's, you, it's just man.
It's just man, so I'm kind of making it men again.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's, you know, cool talking about ungulates, man. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
it is.
It's a kind of, it's like, oh, everyone cares about the top predator, but like, you know, these guys are there.
Yeah. Grizzly bears are important, but so are caribou and deer.
Yeah, man. You know, you gotta think at the herb level.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we're gonna. Do you have any last
Last words. Any words of wisdom or anything like that?
No. I brush your teeth twice a day. Brush your teeth twice a day, and I'd say stewardship.
Stewardship. Yep. With that, I'm going to bring a close, and we're going to close off with a song. It's kind of funky. You might not have heard anything like this on Wise Men since first year, and yes. So this is John the Third. You suffer, but why? The song is called actually 3D off of his album You Suffer, But Why. Funky. See you later.
See ya.